Good morning, 12th Street. It is great to see you here this morning. I'm excited for this morning. We are actually, I'm a little excited and a little bit sad. We're going to be done with the book of Galatians, and I've enjoyed the book of Galatians so much. But I'm excited because we have a potluck following the service. There is fried chicken that's provided, and I know many people have brought some sides and desserts, and we brought some peach cobbler, and I'm looking forward to the fellowship. So if you weren't planning on staying for dinner, we want to encourage you to stay for dinner. It's a great opportunity to get to know other people and to just have some fellowship. And also the youth today, after the potluck, will be headed out to Loynorix to go to the musical there. And one of our very own is the lead, and she's sitting in the back row. And so the youth are going to go support Rebecca today, and it's going to be a good time. And so, youth, don't forget about that. And then also, we have a lot of things going on. So, first of all, on February 29th, that's a Wednesday, at 6:30, we're going to start a series on the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And that will be in the classroom next to the offices on Wednesday night, starting at 6:30. And I would encourage you to be part of that. It's a great series, great to learn about leadership, not just if you're in business or you lead others, even to help in your own personal life and leading it in your home. So I'd like to encourage you to think about that. And then also next Sunday, following the morning service, we have a business meeting. And deacons have a meeting this Wednesday, all right? If you would like to be part of the Easter production will take place on April 15th and 16th. And if you'd like to be part of that, then make sure that you see Paul if you'd like to be part of the choir, or see Julie Thompson if you'd like to be part of the cast. There's a ladies' Bible study. They've already started, but if you haven't joined in and you would like two ladies, they meet on two different times, Monday evening at 6 p.m., and then also on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m., and it's a great Bible study on Gideon, and so if you'd like to be part of that, I'd like to encourage you to go out and be part of that. The home plate with the Detroit Tigers, it's a great day of fellowship. The bus leaves the church early in the morning. Drive to Detroit, or you can go to Detroit yourself. And the Detroit players actually share their testimonies, many of them. And Matt Hammett does some musical things during that time. And then they let you walk down on the field, so you get to walk on Tigers Field, so it's pretty neat. And then the baseball game follows that. And so if you'd like to go to that, the details are in your bulletin, but the money needs to be in next Sunday to Brian Cooper. All right, so if you'd like to go to that, you need to have the money in next Sunday to Brian Cooper. And I think that's it. Oh, Matt Hammett. He's not only doing that, he's going to be at our church on April 2nd. And on April 2nd, we're going to host him here. He's going to do a concert. He does a tremendous job with his singing and just the way he ministers as he does his concert. And so we'll have more details coming out about that, but that's going to be on April 2nd. So make sure you save that Sunday evening to be free for the Matt Hammett concert. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we are here together, that you are a great God, a God who has ordained for each of us to be here today. There are no accidents. And Lord, in your wisdom and in your plan, you have for each one of us to hear the songs that are being sung today, to listen to the message that is being preached today, and to fellowship with the people that we're next to today. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we spend this time together, that you truly will be made great by the way that we live our lives this morning. And if anyone here has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be that day. I pray, Lord, that they would confess their sin to you, believe that what Jesus did on the cross is all that was necessary for them to be saved. And Lord, that they would cry out to Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And Lord, you will save this morning. So now, Lord, to you be glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Well, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
In conjunction with our southern-themed dinner, we're going to sing some southern-themed songs this morning. So as you make your way back to your seats, remain standing. Still shone. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have I'll fly away, like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer this tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet,
in the sweet,
by and by,
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet,
in the sweet,
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the I'll be there on that bright and cloudless morning, where the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen one shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called.
And when he takes me by the hand, shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful weather you are having, and we hope that it will prompt people to be generous with their donations and tithes so that we can do God's work in the future. And we thank you for taking care of all our people all over the world. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. Broken generation, with all this dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe.
God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe.
So let our faith be more than our thoughts, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and our temptations, we believe, ooh, we believe.
We believe. God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again.
So let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church we love, our God will see. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we love your love.
God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit,
and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe.
Amen. I hope that you believe that, because that's the most important thing in life right there, to believe what they just sang about. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and as the children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And as we finish up this series on Galatians, the theme has been, you're so vain, you probably don't think this book is about you. Just the opposite of the Carly Simon song, right? And it's so true that sometimes we look at Scripture, and Scripture is given to us to be a mirror. And when we look in it, we don't see what the Bible is saying. We see what we want to see. And so in this book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul has been writing to the churches scattered throughout Asia Minor, and he tells them, he says, listen, there are some of you that are trying to live by the law. You're concerned with circumcision and making everyone who gets saved get circumcised and then take on the law of Moses. And he says, that's not right. Salvation is not through the flesh, through any work of the flesh. Salvation is through what Jesus Christ did for you. And he died on the cross. And he didn't stay dead, he rose again. And that's called the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And then Paul, in chapter 5, what we saw last week, he says, listen, there's two ways of living. You can live by the works of the flesh, which if you do these things, you know you are not saved. If these are continual, habitual parts of your life, you know that you're not part of the kingdom of heaven. You're not an heir of the promises of God. But then he gives the contrast to that and says, but there's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit of God, then you have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And he says, against such, there is no law. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit living out of our lives. So Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1. And before I read that, there is a ventriloquist who is performing with his dummy on his knee. And he's telling politician jokes. And it's joke after joke about politicians. And finally, this group of politicians, a group of senators that was there, one of them just has had enough of it. And so the senator stands up. And he says, listen, I am so sick and tired of everywhere I go, I hear all these jokes about politicians. Do you know, it's very disheartening to go places and hear people talk bad about politicians. And the ventriloquist was a little bit flustered, and he was trying to utter out an apology. And the politician looked at him and said, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the little guy on your knee. All right, some of you will get that later. It's okay. As we read through Galatians chapter 6, here's what we need to understand. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a truth. In fact, it's such a truth that many other religions and many other, not even religions, but just philosophies of thought have come up with this, you know, you've heard of karma, right? Well, what is karma? You reap what you sow. You've heard of different things where, you know, what you put in is what you'll get back out. You know, when I was in high school and when I was in college and I played sports, the coach was always telling us that. What you put in is what you will get back out. And, you know, and it's true because it's a biblical truth. You will reap what you sow. So let's read Galatians chapter 6 together. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now it's interesting here what the Apostle Paul does. He says, you who are spiritual. Just in the previous passage in chapter 5, he has talked about what it means to walk in the flesh and what it is to walk in the spirit. And he says, you think you walk in the spirit, you who are spiritual, when someone falls into sin, you restore them. You know, sadly, the church has been about crucifying people who fall into sin. Sadly, the church has been about beating people up, casting judgment on them, digging their grave and burying them. But that's not at all what we're taught here that the spiritual will do. The spiritual person will restore someone who has fallen into sin. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you, or they convince you to be circumcised, so that they could, so only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. See, there are people that they want us to follow their religious rules, so they don't have to follow God's rules. Verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Folks, that's the key to this whole book. Us being crucified with Christ in his crucifixion. For in Christ, neither circumcision accomplishes anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. See, if you're in Christ, you're in the Spirit, you're a new creature. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. All right, just real quick. Who is this Israel of God? Throughout the whole book of Galatians, he's been explaining it. But in chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul wrote and said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You want to know who the Israel of God is? The Israel of God are all believers in Jesus Christ. That's who the Israel of God is. In fact, in Romans chapter 2, in verse 27, says this, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you, who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You want to become part of the Israel of God? It's through salvation in Jesus Christ, faith in him, not circumcision or becoming part of a Jewish faith. Because what does he say the true Jew is? The true Jew is one that is circumcised in the heart by faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, I hope that today you want to be part of the Israel of God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. I wish that our church could give you some kind of a blessing or do some kind of a thing for you to make you part of it, but we can't do that. I wish that there was an act that you could do that would be like, whoa, they did this, they're now part of the family of God. But there's no work that you can do that will make you part of the family of God. This morning, the only way that we can be part of the family of God is by trusting in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And that's it. But when we trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us, in Galatians, it gives us all these promises. We become part of the family of God. We become an heir of all the promises of God. We have an inheritance waiting for us in Jesus Christ. And it's all through what he's done for us. So if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, today I beg of you. It's awesome that you're in church today, but your attendance here does not give you favor with God. Only Jesus Christ can bring you favor with God. Look at verse 17 in Galatians 6. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. To the Galatians, written from Rome. Let's look at some things that are in this passage that are they're here for us to know how to live our life the way that God intends it to be lived. First of all, there's spiritual responsibility. Spiritual responsibility. This is for those who walk in the Spirit. So last week, when we talked about walking in the Spirit, there's a difference. When you get saved, you're living in the Spirit. And I showed you the cup that was full of water, right? When you get saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit in you that you're ever going to have. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit. But then I took the Alka-Seltzer. See, before the Alka-Seltzer was in there, and I just had the cup, that was living in the Spirit. It's full. When you're saved, you live in the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit is different, because walking in the Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is actively involved with what you are doing, because you are being part of it. And so I put the Alka-Seltzer in, and it was all fizzy. And that showed the difference between walking or living and walking in the Spirit. And I also took the fan, and I had the sail, and the two guys were holding the sail. And when the wind hit the sail, it filled up the sail. See, that's walking in the Spirit. But then when they moved away from the wind, the sail went dead. And that's what happens in our lives. When we don't walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the lust of the flesh. So for those who are spiritual, chapter 6 gives us ways that the fruit of the Spirit, or abilities that he gives to us, he gives us abilities because of that fruit. So number one, in verse 1, restore the brother who falls into sin. I mean, this is like for Paul preaching to the churches scattered throughout Asia Minor, the Galatians. This is like the very first thing. This is like basic. When you walk in the Spirit, when you have him activated in your life, you restore the people who fall. You know, I think that Christianity has become very disgusting. And the way it's become disgusting is that when people fall, most times in Christianity, we just beat them up more. Talk bad about them. Say, oh my goodness, they say they trust Jesus, but look at that. You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. You know, I don't read anywhere in the Bible the word excommunicate. I do see withdraw and don't fellowship, but I don't see excommunicate. You know what word repeats itself over and over in 1 Corinthians 6? where it talks about church discipline. You know what the whole goal is? Restore. Bring back. See, true Christianity is not out to condemn. True Christianity is about restoring back into fellowship. That's the work. That's the goal. That's where all the effort should go. Not in condemning, but in restoring. Secondly, we're told, bear each other's burdens. Verse 2. It takes being filled with the Spirit to bear others' burdens. I mean, there are some people that got some big burdens, aren't there? I mean, I've sat and talked with some of you. Woo! You know what? It's all good. You know why it's all good? It's okay. Because as you share your burden, and somebody else is able to help carry that burden, you know what? All of a sudden, it's a little bit lighter, right? And you get three people carrying it, four people, five people. You get your whole church carrying that burden with you, and all of a sudden, it's not much of a burden. And we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. And so for some people, they think, well, I just keep to myself. That is not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is invest in other people's lives. Bear the burden with them. I remember when I was in high school, my brother Josh and I, he's 2 years younger than me, and we would work out all the time. We had a weight bench in our basement. And we would put 200 pounds on there, and we'd do it as many times as we could. And that was one of the things that we did a lot. Well, when we got up to rep number, 17, 18, 19, 20, that 200 pounds is feeling like 2,000 pounds. Now, we never did it on our own. We'd always have the other one there spotting us. And as soon as we couldn't get that weight back up, the one who was spotting would help pull it back up. Now, one day, I went in without a spotter, okay? That was mistake number one. Mistake number two, some girls went by, and I'm like, I'm going to put some extra weight on this thing. I'm going to impress these girls. And I fell back, and that bar landed right on my head. All right? It was 185 pounds. I was doing the military press that time. 185 pounds right on my head. I was in sixth grade, okay? Split my forehead open. The last thing I remember before I blacked out was the weight room coach going, I can see his skull. I'm like, cool. Now, if I would have had my spotter to help bear my burden, I would not have gotten hurt. Some of the hurt that we experience in our Christian life is because we don't let others bear our burdens with us. And if you're spiritual here this morning, God doesn't say, you have to take care of all you're on your own. No, he's saying, bear each other's burdens. Let others help you in this. That is being spiritual. Look at the third thing. Do your own work, verse 4. Do your own work. Because there are some people out here that you hear, oh, other people have to bear my burden? Ho, ho, ho. I don't ever have to take care of anything. I'll just let them take care of it. No, 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 no. We have to do our own work. We have to put our own effort in. Because if we just depend on everybody else to always get it done for us, then we never exercise the spiritual muscle that it takes to handle burdens when we're on our own. Then look at the fourth thing is bear your own burden. You're like, wait a minute, bear each other's burdens, share in the bearing, but then carry your own burden? Yes, because that's how you develop muscle. All right, we had two machines that we could work out on when we were growing up. We had this, it was a weight machine. It wasn't free weights. And we had the free weights. You know which one helped me develop more strength and more balance and everything? It was the free weight. You know why? Because the mechanical weight, it never put the true pressure on me. It always took me to my limit, but I would always be safe because I would depend on the machine at the end. But with the free weight, if I messed up, you know, it's a trip to the hospital. And so it took more effort on my part, and it worked out, frankly, more muscles. In your spiritual life, yes, we bear each other's burdens, but also you are going to have to bear your own burden. Because there are times when you don't have anybody that's there to share in it with you. And so develop these muscles. Gain that strength. And then the fifth thing that it says here in this passage, let the student communicate to the teacher of the word good things. That's verse 5. Verse 6 says that. Let the student communicate to the teacher good things. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, see, every time that I had a coach, and my coach would give us instructions, and we followed the instructions, we would always, you know, at the end of the game, you know, who gets the Gatorade bath? The coach, right? The trainer doesn't get the Gatorade bath. The strength coach doesn't get it. The medical staff doesn't get it. The quarterback doesn't get the Gatorade bath. The point guard doesn't get it. The coach gets it. Because there's just this inherent principle. And you know what, folks? We need to make sure that we're communicating good to our Sunday school teachers, those who teach us the word. And it's really good. You're like, yeah, this is easy for you to preach. You're the guy standing up there. But you know, there's a good principle here. Every pastor I ever worked for, I love to communicate not only good about them to other people, but good to them. I still call them on the phone and talk to a couple of them because to communicate that good. You know, I'm so appreciative of what they taught me. And you say, well, why is that important for my spiritual life? Those who are spiritual, who have the fruit of the Spirit activated in their life, are able to do this. And those who don't, aren't. Now, these five things are our special abilities. Think of them as your spiritual superpower. Okay? You came here this morning and you didn't know you had spiritual superpowers. Now you do. And here's how this works its way out. It works its way out in that there are principles we have for life. They're given to us in verses 7 through 16. These principles are available because of those abilities, those first six verses. So let's go through this. Hopefully this will make a little more sense to you. Here are our principles for life. First of all, you will reap what you sow. Verses 7 through 9 tells us that. Okay, what you put in, you will get back out. We'll talk more about that. Number two, do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. See, it's almost impossible to do good to everybody when I don't have the fruit of the Spirit in me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's the one that's, it's like, oh, that's a word that nobody likes, long-suffering. But it's part of what the Spirit activates in your life. So you can do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes we're kinder to people outside the family than we are people in the family. Is that right? And sometimes we're more patient and loving toward people outside the church than we are in the church. And that is backward in spiritual thinking. In the church, we should be more patient and more ready to do good because they're of the household of faith. Now, we should do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's something, this is one of the superpower that's activated in your life. You can do it. You have that ability. Number three. It is the cross in your life, not the outward flesh, that matters. Verses 12 through 16. See, some people, they think that their Christian life is all about whatever everybody perceives about them. The way they look, the way they dress, the way that they talk when they're at church. But you know, it's not about that. It's about the cross in my life and how the cross of Jesus Christ has changed my life. And you know, most of the things that are important to God are what are happening inside. And what happens inside, it works its way out. And so God is more concerned with what's going on in here. Jesus had this interesting discussion with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they're complaining about, oh, your disciples, they don't wash their hands before you eat. Oh, they're disgusting. Which it is disgusting, right? Somebody doesn't wash their hands before they eat. That's disgusting. Or they're out in the field. It's on the Sabbath day, and they're sitting there and they're picking wheat, and they're taking the chaff off of it, and they're eating the kernels. It's like, you're on the Sabbath day. What are you doing? And so Jesus looks at them, and Jesus says, you've forgotten the weightier, the more important things of the law. He says, I want you to go learn something. And he'll say this to them three times to the Pharisees. He'll say, I want you to go learn something. Here's what I want you to go learn. I want you to learn mercy over the law. What's more important to you? Well, I'm going to keep that law. Okay, and what good is keeping the law when you can't demonstrate mercy to anybody? The cross in your life, not the outward flesh. That's what matters most. In verse 15, number 4 in your bulletin there, for principles for life, the cross of Jesus makes us a new creature. I love that. The cross and the Spirit becoming active in my life, I am now a new creature. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, or 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's what happens in Christ. We are changed radically, completely. And then number 5, verse 16. Those who walk in the Spirit are the Israel of God. That's just awesome. What does that mean? The word Israel, it was given to a man named Jacob, because his name Jacob meant deceiver or supplanter. He was born and he was hanging on to his twin's heel, trying to get out with his twin. So they named him supplanter, one who's trying to, you know, take the spot of. But then, as he comes into the promises of God and he wrestles with God, God gives him a new name, Israel, which means promised of God. And here's what we're told today, you and I, and this is what's so great, it's not about what nationality you are, it's not about what race you are. Here's the great truth for today. Those who are in Christ, Jew, Gentile alike, we are all new creatures in Christ. And what does that new creature make us? We are the Israel, the promised, the chosen of God. So I want to illustrate a little bit how sowing and reaping works in this passage. Okay, I got a blue balloon, all right? Now, when I blow into this balloon, what do I expect is going to happen? It's going to get bigger, right? It's going to fill up with air, all right? Let's see if this principle of what you put in, you should expect to get out, okay? Let's see if it works. Maybe it doesn't, all right? All right, now you're sitting there and you're going, okay, anybody could blow up a balloon, right? Yeah, anybody could blow up a balloon. And anybody who's got the Spirit of God in them can reap good things because the Spirit in them will help them sow good in their life, plant good. And so, just like with this balloon, I blow into it, I expect for air to fill it, and I expect for it to expand. In your life as you live, you should expect that when you reap, or when you sow correctly, you will reap something that you intend or desire to. So I'm going to apply this principle of sowing and reaping with some of these things we've already talked about. So the first thing, if we restore others, we expect when we fall to be restored. Does that make sense? If I, in my life, see other people fall and fail in my life, I help them. I help restore them. Someday if I fall, you know what I should expect? Other people will help me be restored. But if I'm the type of person that when somebody falls, I am right on them and I am beating them down and I'm kicking the dirt on top of them, you know what happens when I fall? I'll reap that. See how this principle works? How about this? If we carry others' burdens, they will help carry ours. Isn't that cool? If I sow into other people that when they're struggling, I help carry their burdens, then I should expect, just like when I put air into this balloon, that when I go through times when I have burdens, they're going to help me carry my burdens. That's pretty cool, huh? How about this? If we do our own work, we will be satisfied with our own work. I've met people that have no idea what it's like to feel accomplishment. To feel like, hey, I did something. Because they don't do their own work. And here's the principle. You do your own work, you're going to feel the satisfaction of, I did something. Or if we bear our own burdens, we will have the capacity to help others carry their burdens. If you never bear your own burden, you're never going to know how to help someone else carry theirs. And so this principle of reaping what we sow, you sow that you can carry burdens, you will reap that you will be able to help others carry theirs as well. So, with every action in life, we expect a reaction. I got a different kind of balloon here, all right? Not everybody can blow up this kind of balloon. In fact, I would venture to say that less than 10% of the people in here could blow up this kind of balloon, all right? Now, this kind of balloon, unless you were a clown, I was never a clown, all right? Or you've trained and specifically tried to learn how to do it. Some of you are going, you are a clown. What are you talking about? But see, the same principle takes place. But there's something really neat, because not everybody can blow up this kind of balloon. And not everybody should expect the results that I will see here. All right? Now, if I were to hand out balloons to some of you, I thought about doing it, but it'll take too long. And let you huff and puff and turn purple and I laugh. And you're not able to do it. All right? Because not everybody can blow up these. They're just hard. Maybe if you're a musician and you've got the kind of wind, maybe. But you know, it takes a little bit of something other, some training. Here's what happens in our lives. As we have the Holy Spirit active, we don't just live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, He enables us to do things. And the things that He enables us to do, we expect the right kind of results from it. I expect that as I read my Bible, that God is going to fill into me. You know, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? I'm still a young man. By taking heed thereto unto the word of God. I expect that my ways will be cleansed before God because I'm in His Word. You know, I'm hoping to read through the Bible twice this year. I'm on pace. Okay? I'm really hoping to get it done twice this year. because I want God's word. I expect that the filling, the sowing of God's word into my life will reap the right kind of results, the benefits. I pray with my kids every single day that they'll honor their mom and treat her with honor and respect, that they'll love their dad more than any other boy until they get married, and I just expect that to happen. You know why? Because I've been sowing that in their life every single day. What are you sowing into life? You expect an outcome. I know I'm not preaching to kids, but there's an outcome. As I shape this balloon, I expect there to be an outcome. Okay? I know what I'm making, and so I expect that when I'm done, there's going to be a certain look to this, a certain feel to this, and I know exactly what I'm thinking that it should be. Because I've sowed in, I've practiced this, I've blown the air into it, I put just enough air in so that I know that what I'm doing is going to work. All right? And so as I fold the balloon, I've practiced this, I've seen it happen, and I know that when I'm done, I should have a teddy bear on a stick. All right? And so I've got my teddy bear on a stick. Now, in your life, God gives you special abilities because the Holy Spirit is active in your life. So here's what happens, the action-reaction. In marriage, put in good into your marriage. And what happens? You will reap good. You put in foul words and nasty comments and lazy work, that's what you're going to get out of your marriage. In parenting, put in good and you will reap good. Kids don't turn out good by accident. It takes sowing and purposefully putting in the types of seeds that will help produce in your children a good result. Next Sunday, we're going to begin a series on family matters. I'm excited about this series. Because in this series about family matters, we're going to talk about having a champion family. Not just raising, you know, getting by and you have kids that are going to maybe survive in life. No, we're going to talk about how to have a successful entire family life. But you know what? It starts with sowing the right kinds of things into your family so you can reap them. Or how about this in church? You speak favorably, you engage positively, and you help others. You know what you should expect you're going to get out of church? Exactly what you put in. But if you speak negatively, engage in complaining, voice adverse opinions about other people, that's what you're going to get back out. Because you reap what you sow. Rachel and I, very early in our marriage, we decided that we wanted to sow into other people's lives. And so our first summer that we were married, we were down in Margate, Florida. It's in Dade County, right next to Boca Raton, okay? Way down there. And we were there only for the summer. That was foolishness, all right? It's hot down there during the summer. And humid, and so we decided that we wanted to sow into others. We met this really neat family worked there, the Alexander family. They had five boys, and they were all really young. And he worked there at the Christian school and church. I was the interim youth pastor for the summer. Rachel worked in the daycare, so she worked with Mr. Alexander because he helped with the daycare during the summer. And so we had this really good relationship with them. Well, at the end of the summer, we were so appreciative of him for all that he put into our lives and all he put into the ministry. And we're looking at him, and we knew what he made, and he didn't make very much money at all. And we thought, we just want to bless him. Now, we didn't have very much money. We cut grass on weekends, literally, so we could have money for groceries and things like that. Okay, we didn't have much money, but we were able to save up some money, and we gave him a little bit of money right before we were going to leave and move back up to Wisconsin to finish school. We gave it to him anonymously. That stinker, as soon as he got the money, called us and said, "Hey, God just blessed me. I want to take you out for a steak dinner. No, we're looking at it, we're like, no, you know, we wanted to bless you. Okay, but understand this. Here's how God works. You reap what you sow. What are you putting into your life? It's what you're getting out. You want better? Then learn what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Where He is, where you walk in the Spirit. Where He's active in your life. And then you will reap what you want to reap. Because you'll be sowing the things that you want to get back. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you teach through it. Thank you the way that you convict. Thank you for the way that you encourage. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has never trusted in the cross of Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, I pray that this morning as we sing this closing song, that they would just come up to the front of the church. Let me know that they want to trust Jesus. And this morning, Lord, you will do a work in their life where they will become they will receive the inheritance of your promises. You will fill them with your Spirit. And for the first time in their life, they'll have the ability to have the Spirit active where they're able to reap good things from you. And Lord, I pray for the Christian this morning. Maybe they haven't been walking in the Spirit as they should, and so the things that they've been reaping have not been very good. Lord, I pray that they would come up this morning and make a commitment to you. They would just bow before you and say, Lord, I want to sow better things into my life and the life of others. And Lord, if we do that this morning, I know that you will better things in our lives. And so, God, we commit our ways to you. Bring your ways to pass in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. And what a great song. If we have Blessed Assurance, God wants in your life to be, He wants to do something. If you've never trusted Christ, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about that. If God has spoken to your heart and you're a Christian, I encourage you, come, kneel. Make sure that you commit to God the right things. Let's sing this together.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now, if this is our story and this is our song, we should really
perfect
sing it out to the Lord. Let's let Him hear it.
Perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior.